Nah, all good. I won't be too long if there's two or three of us sharing. But when, yeah, I was preparing the message, the word peace kept coming up. And there is a difference, which I'll go through in terms of the human element of peace and the God element of peace and what he can provide for us through that peace. Whereas in the world, and when we may not have known God, or those that don't know God, peace means different things to them than what God's peace actually means. And I was just reminded of prior to being a Christian, I remember lyrics in a song, because I was a little bit of a, not anxious, but worried a lot about things, about what the future might hold, stress, whatever it might be, growing up. And I remember this song and the lyrics from the song, which said, worry is as useful as trying to solve an algebra equation by chewing bubble gum. So you're trying to solve this big algebra equation by chewing bubble gum. That is how useful worry is. And I just never forget that. And that was prior to being a Christian, without God's peace and God's overflowing love that surpasses all understanding, as we will read. So I'll go through a few scriptures. If you could put up Ephesians 2:8. And I'll touch on this in the Amplified version, where it kind of begins, and then it will go into the peace element. As we know, this scripture, just from the New King James Version, says, for by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. The Amplified version goes into a bit more detail, and I'll read it to verse 10 in the Amplified, where it says, for it is by grace, God's remarkable compassion and favour drawing you to Christ, that you have been saved, actually delivered from judgment and given eternal life through faith. And this salvation is not of yourselves, not through your own effort, but it is the undeserved, gracious gift of God. Let's stop there for a second. Grace is that giving someone something that they don't deserve, or it's basically... mercy is not giving someone what they deserve, but grace is giving someone what they deserve. How good is that? What they don't deserve. Grace is what they don't deserve. We don't deserve it. It's undeserved, as it says there. Undeserved, gracious gift of God. And then it goes on to verse 9, where it says, not as a result of your works, nor your attempts to keep the law, so that no one will be able to boast or take credit in any way for his salvation. If we were able to boast, or if we were going to boast, then it would be about works and what we were to do. If it wasn't about grace, that we are saved by grace, then it wouldn't, works wouldn't be a factor here. Then it goes to verse 10, for we are his workmanship, his own masterwork, a work of art created in Christ Jesus, reborn from above, spiritually transformed, renewed, ready to be used for good works which God prepared for us beforehand, taking paths which he set so that we would walk in them, living the good life which he prearranged and made ready for us. So it just doesn't stop there, where we've been saved by grace, but he has pre-planned, prearranged, made ready for us the good works, and now that what we are called to do as well. In Titus 3:5, it says, he saved us not because of the righteous things we had done, but because of his mercy. He washed away our sins, giving us a new birth and new life through the Holy Spirit. It continues on in verses 11 to 18. I'm just doing a different version because it'll be too long in the Amplified. There is a bit there, so I'll just get through it relatively quickly, and then I'll get on to the next section. From verse 11, it says, don't forget that you Gentiles used to be outsiders. You were called uncircumcised heathens by the Jews. You were proud of their circumcision, even though it affected only their bodies and not their hearts. In those days, you were living apart from Christ. You were excluded from the citizenship among the people of Israel, and you did not know the covenant promises God had made to them. You lived in this world without God and without hope. But now you have been united with Christ Jesus. Once you were far away from God, but now you have been brought to him through the blood of Christ. For Christ himself has brought peace to us. He united Jews and Gentiles into one people when, in his own body on the cross, he broke down the wall of hostility that separated us. He did this by ending the system of law with its commandments and regulations. He made peace between Jews and Gentiles by creating in himself one new people from the two groups. Together as one body, Christ reconciled both groups to God by means of his death on the cross, and our hostility toward each other was put to death. He brought this good news of peace to you Gentiles who are far away from him, and peace to the Jews who are near. Now all of us can come to the Father through the same Holy Spirit because of what Christ has done for us. And we talked through and had communion there and what the blood of Jesus does, and it explains it there brilliantly as well. In that verse 14, how it says, for Christ himself has brought peace to us. In verse 17, he brought this good news of peace. It's all because of what he did for us. Now we have that peace. In Isaiah 26:3, on the next slide, it says, you will keep in perfect peace all who trust in you, all whose thoughts are fixed on you. Perfect peace comes as a result of keeping our mind stayed on the Lord and trusting in him. That's how it starts. And then, yeah, I've got it up there, the Greek word there, I won't try and pronounce it, for keep, where it says you'll keep in perfect peace. It's basically a watcher in advance, to mount guard, to protect, a sentinel, like a guard who watches at the gate for any danger that's coming. It's a real protector. This peace is a real protector. We will be protected in perfect peace, all who trust in you, all whose thoughts are fixed on you. We will be protected, and just like it says there in the original language in the Greek. God's kind of peace is like a fortress that protects us. The enemy can't get to us unless we leave the protection of God's peace. Peace is the result of casting our care upon the Lord through prayer and thanksgiving. As we'll see in the next verses in Philippians 4:6-7, we've probably all heard of this verse or two verses here. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Probably a lot of the time we might be asking God for peace so that our cares will leave, but got to get it around the other way, basically, where through faith we cast our cares on the Lord first, as that scripture is saying, and then we will be given peace. We will get peace from that. All Christians, all of us that know God, have peace inside of us, as it says in Galatians 5:22, the fruit of the Spirit, we have it. And Paul in that scripture was speaking of God's peace, as I mentioned before, in relation to the human peace and God's peace. Human peace is only experienced in the absence of problems. Therefore, those who only know human peace don't experience it very often, and to a lesser degree as well. But God's peace isn't dependent on circumstances and is far greater in supply than any problem we could have. In John 14:27, it says, peace I leave with you, my peace I give you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid. We have that God's supernatural peace because we don't have to understand. We can just trust that God is in control. And that faith in God allows us to experience peace that goes beyond our understanding, as it says in Philippians. It surpasses all understanding. Peace is like a fortress against the enemy, against the devil. Before Satan can get to our hearts, he has to get us to step out of God's peace. Therefore, we must let God's peace protect our hearts and mind. In the next scripture, in Colossians 3:15, it says, "And let the peace that comes from Christ rule in your hearts. For as members of one body, you are called to live in peace and always be thankful." That rule there where it says, and let, I haven't got the Greek word up there again, but it basically means umpire, your referee. So when in sport, when there's a dispute or decision needs to be made, the umpire makes the decision. Same in our life, when there's things that need, decisions need to be made, might be up in the air, we aren't sure, it's God's peace that overrides everything. We go with the decision that we have the most peace about generally, God's peace. So God's peace, it's supposed to act as an umpire in our lives. And it does say let there, let the peace, give permission, allow. Because a lot of the time we might try and take over and do it ourselves, but we need to let God, allow God, give him permission. And then his peace will flow. It's like, I just read this little transcript where it said, "The rudder on a ship can't give any direction until the ship is moving. The ship doesn't have to be going full steam ahead for the rudder to work, but it does have to be moving. Likewise, we have to act before the peace of God will give us perfect direction. Even if we make a mistake, we will have made it in faith, trying to follow the peace of God in our hearts. The Lord can bless a wrong decision made with faith or made in faith from a pure heart more than he can bless indecision." So it's that peace of God that helps us with that decision. And at times we might not get it right 100% of the time. I'm sure we've all done that. But knowing that we can trust in him, and we need to get it moving, like faith, we can't be still and just wait that things would happen. We need to act on it and know that God will move with our faith. The next slide and scripture is in 2 Corinthians 10 verse 5, where it says, "We demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God, and we take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ." Obedient to Christ. It's so much our part, a lot of these things. And I'll go through a few little snippets. But we've got to do some things as well. We can't just sit back and wait. As I mentioned, we've got to step out and know that God will cast our cares on him, and he will give us peace. We present our request to God. We let and give permission to and allow God's peace to be the umpire in our lives. We demolish every thought that is against God and make it obedient to Christ. And there's so many more examples of that as well. But we've got to take captive those thoughts in Christ. We can't do it on our own, but he's asking us to do it. He's given us that authority to do it here on earth. Because a lot of the time we might ask God to do things, and Ken's been talking about it for a while. If we're praying for healing, we go, "God, can you please heal this person?" rather than actually speak to the problem and pray against and speak to the body and speak to the issue in the body. God has asked us to do that and pray. Rather than speaking to God about your problem, speak to your problem about God. And Andrew Womack says that a lot of the time. But we need to speak to our problems, like it says, speak to the mountain and it will move. Speak to things, cast our cares on things, and then the peace of God will come. I'll just finish with this slide from Romans 15:13, the scripture. And I pray this over everyone today. "May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. I'll just pray briefly. Lord, thank you so much for who you are. Thank you that you have given us peace, Lord. Peace that surpasses all our understanding. Lord, we thank you that we can cast our cares upon you. We can come against anything, Lord, any thought, and take it captive that is against you, Lord. Make it obedience to you, Lord. We thank you that we can step out in faith, Lord, and your peace is there. I just pray, Lord God, as this scripture says in Romans 15:13, that you, God, I thank you that you are the God of hope, and I pray that you fill all of us with joy and peace, and they trust in you, Lord God, and that you will overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. I just thank you so much for your peace, everything that you bring, Lord, and I pray we can hand it over to you. And we just thank you so much for that in Jesus' mighty name. Thank you, Lord. And I'll just hand you over to Mash now, who will share as well briefly. Thanks, guys.
Hello, everybody. I want to talk today about strengthening ourselves in the Lord. It's something I've been looking at in the book of Ephesians lately, and just felt to share it with you all today. Just to remind ourselves, really, some of us, remind myself, of the inner strength and the power that God has available to us in Christ. You know, it's to empower us for everyday life, for walking in God's will, and also for doing his things in the his works in this world on his behalf. And he wants us to have life and life to the full. We need to be reminded that of those words of Jesus. He did come here. One of his reasons and one of his promises was if we followed him, he would give us life and life to the full. In Ephesians 6:10, Paul says, "Be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power." Just think of that visual for the moment about what it is to be strong in the Lord. It says not become strong or learn to become strong, but be strong now, immediately. So I love this picture that once we become aware of who we are in Christ, and that can take some time or it can happen straight away, that we are strong in the Lord, not in our own abilities. And we have access to his mighty power. Such an awesome scripture. And in Ephesians 3:16-17, it says, "I pray," this is Paul again praying for the churches at Ephesus, "I pray that from his glorious, unlimited resources, he will empower you with his inner strength through his Spirit. Then Christ will make his home in your hearts as you trust in him. Your roots will grow down into God's love and keep you strong." So good. Empowerment, he gives us empowerment from inner strength found through his Spirit. And I have been reminding myself lately of we have this inner man, this inner spirit within us that the Lord does his work effectively, you know. And we try as we may to try and live from our own, even our own biblical knowledge or our own understanding of God and how what we should and shouldn't be doing. But that's our own might and that's our own ability. And so much so we rely upon, you know, our life experiences and how we see life and how we think we should do things. But there's this inner strength that God provides in our life for, yes, for our own personal development and our walk with God, but ultimately these things he gives us is so that we can live in perfection, holiness. And, you know, when life throws stuff at us, which it does every day, you know, be it our worries and cares, as Daz was talking about there, or, you know, when people annoy us or challenge us, when we have a stressful day at work, or we're thinking about the future or stressing about money, I'm trying to learn to stop in those moments and go, am I going to rely right now on my flesh and my normal reactions, or am I going to tap in to this inner strength that Paul is talking about here in these scriptures? Because I don't know about you, but I need it more than ever. I need it more than ever. And I just love what Paul is saying here, that from God's unlimited resources, he provides this inner strength for us to walk in confidence, in peace, and in strength in everyday life. Yeah, so my challenge to myself and to you guys is we need to just stop being so reactive to what life throws at us and really just go, you know what, I'm going to be a man of the spirit and not my flesh, and I'm going to walk in that. In Romans 8 it says, those who are dominated by the sinful nature think about sinful things, but those who are controlled by the Holy Spirit think about things that please the Spirit. Further down in verse 9, but you are not controlled by your sinful nature, you are controlled by your spirit if you have the Spirit of God living in you. And Christ lives in you. So even though your body will die because of sin, the Spirit gives you life because you have been made right with God. The Spirit of God who raised Jesus from the dead lives in you, and just as God raised Christ from the dead, he will give life to your mortal bodies by the same Spirit living within you. This empowerment, this strength, similar to what Darren was saying, really, is the power's all God's, but he's not gonna force it on us. It's there. Like all things, like a lot of most things with God, is his strength is there, available, ready, from the glorious and unlimited resources of God in heaven. He's ready to empower us to live as he would desire us to. And, yeah, just important note here about how the empowerment is probably more importantly, as God seemed to be reminding me as I was reading these scriptures, is to empower us to advance the gospel, to advance his kingdom, to give us boldness to speak of Jesus and to share our faith. And, man, I need that. And to reflect on how we are interacting with the world around us and how we're interacting with people. And if we are just walking around like everyone else in the world, or if we want to be different, and how we are different, we can be empowered by his spirit and really walk in powerful ways. Back in those scriptures in Ephesians 6, where it's talking about be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power, the following verses, as Ken has been sharing the last few weeks, it's about putting on God's armour and about being armed and prepared to stand firm against the enemy's devices and schemes. So we need to be strong in the Lord to be able to stand in our authority in Christ. And in that Ephesians 3 scripture, you know, once we are empowered with inner strength, we are able to experience the fullness and depth of God's love for us. Because it talks in the following, in those verses where it talks about Christ will make his home in your heart as you trust in him. Your roots will grow down into God's love and keep you strong. And may you have the power to understand, as all God's people should, how wide, how long, how high, how deep is his love. And may you experience the love of Christ, though it's too great to understand fully. Then you'll be able to be made complete with all fullness of life and power that comes from God. Such a good scripture in Ephesians 3. It's a good chapter. And just to wrap up, the scripture in Nehemiah 8:10. Don't be dejected or sad, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. And I get so much encouragement from that scripture, because I go, we have to look, to get the most out of the scripture, we have to look in the spirit and go, as I see the Lord in my spirit, I see his joy and his perfection, and I find strength from that. And you think about the early apostles when they were locked up in jail and being wrongfully persecuted and martyred, they were rejoicing because they had to be tapping into this realm where the circumstances and the things happening around them were complete polar opposite to what they were rejoicing in the spirit. And that's a strength, you know. That is the power of God at work. So let's all work on strengthening ourselves in the Lord and being strong in the Lord. That's my message today. Thank you.
Okay, cool. Awesome. Thank you. Thank you both. Amen. All right, everyone, stand up for 2 seconds. It's a little bit different hearing three voices, because I'm like, Dad would actually talk for this long and one voice in the same. So I'm like, all right, everyone, just like do a little jiggle on the spot. Shake out your arms, shake your legs. Give yourself a little bit of a twist. All right, good. And now take a seat. Just want to make sure you're awake. All right, heaters aren't on too much. How you going out there, kids? Good, good? Awesome. I'm going to need some of you soon, so be listening, all right? Okay, good. This is awesome. I'm going to challenge myself today. I'm usually good at freaking out, talking way too fast, and missing a whole bunch of stuff. And I'm like, I'm going to try. Take a breath. I might take a little bit longer because I'm going to try slow myself down for once. Okay. Actually, it's really good how much a lot of this sort of fits in. To start off, I want everyone to take a few moments and think of like 3 to 5 words. Kids, you can do this too as well. 3 to 5 words, I was going to get you to write it down, but I didn't get organized, that you would use to describe yourself. Now, you don't have to share this, okay, so don't freak out. But if you were to describe yourself, what 3 to 5 words would you use? I don't want to distract your thoughts too much, but they could be about the outside, what you look like. It could be characteristics that you have, or it could be talents that you have. Like, I know a lot of kids might define themselves by their talents. A lot of adults might define themselves by their looks or their jobs, yeah? All right, has everyone kind of got that in your head? All right, just have a think about that, and I'll just put it aside for a second, okay? Now, a few months back, I remember getting stirred on about the whole concept of put on and put off, and I got all excited because I saw the heading Get Dressed, and I was like, oh, Dad, I reckon I got a message stirring. I want to do a message on getting dressed, putting on and putting off. And I got home and I was like, all right, I can do this. And I sort of, because I haven't spoken for a long time with kids and stuff. And I got all the scriptures together. And then it kind of felt a bit hollow. And I was like, what do I do with this Holy Spirit? Because it's not going to work. If we just put a table here and says, put on, put off, you know, can you really walk out those doors fully empowered to go, all right, I'm going to do this, I'm going to live it out. Not quite. So I put it down and I said, I'm going to sit with this with God. And my prayer's been similar to what Dad's been sharing the last couple of weeks, actually, about show me what this really looks like, Holy Spirit. Would you show me what it fully looks like to put on who you are, to fully put on the armor, put on who you are and walk as you walked, as you want me to walk, and what it is to put off the old nature. You know, what's some of the practical aspects to this? What does it look like for my life? I don't want it to just be a study. I don't want it to just be presenting truths. I want this to be practical. I want it to be life-giving. And then recently, I think Dad might have presented it a couple of weeks ago. I was reading the scriptures, Ephesians chapter 5 came up. So do you have them, Anthony, at all? You did find the slides, didn't you? It's just better if you can see it. Ephesians chapter 5, it says, walk in love, therefore be imitators of God as dear children. Just think about imitators of God. How are we going at imitating God? Or the word it actually says is follow. I always get convicted if I start following on someone on Facebook or Instagram because I'm supposed to be a follower of Christ, like imitating Christ instead of all these other people. Anyway, be imitators of God as dear children and walk in love as Christ also has loved us and given himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling aroma. But fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not even be named among you as is fitting for saints. Neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor coarse jesting, which are not fitting, but rather giving of thanks. For this you know, that no fornicator, unclean person, nor covetous man, who is an idolater, has any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and God. And the two phrases that jumped out at me were, as is fitting for saints, and which are not fitting. So everybody say with me, it doesn't fit. Kids, can you say that? Can you say, it doesn't fit?
It doesn't fit.
All right, adults, let's try that again. It doesn't fit.
It doesn't fit.
All right. This is the sentence that has stuck with me over the last couple of weeks. The Holy Spirit has used that phrase, because this doesn't fit or this fits. And as I've walked out, because I'm like, you know, I'll be the first to say, like, sometimes I'm looking, going, gosh, you call yourself a Christian, Kez, but the flesh is still way too at work here. What's going on? And I'm like, Holy Spirit, help me. I need to work this out. And there'll be times I'm about to do something and I hear his voice now. Thanks. He's given me this key. He's like, Kez, that attitude doesn't fit anymore. Throw it off and put on this one. Because love is fitting. Because peace is fitting. Because strength is fitting. And it's helped me begin to shift my mindset and begin to walk as Christ walked. I'm in early stages, but I'm like, you know, in a few areas, but I was like, this statement, it doesn't fit, is powerful. Because he said that as what is fitting for the saints. We are all saints. We are new creations in Christ, amen? And we are to walk as he walks. And so understanding that it's like there is literally just ways that are no longer fitting for us to walk. And I think the church as a whole has got too compromising on that. And that we've forgotten that some things just don't fit anymore. But then we've also got to get reminded of what does fit now and who we really are. Yeah? So, Romans chapter 1, just to bring verse 28. I won't go through the whole thing as well. Oh, so many scriptures. Maybe I'll just give you references if you want to look them up. It says, even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a debased mind to do those things which are not fitting. Yet again, yeah, that are not fitting. Because they didn't retain the knowledge of who God was in their mind. That was another key thing. If we're not walking with an understanding and a constant reminder, we're talking about this on Friday, hey, and we're like, we need to constantly remind ourselves. He says get in the word every single day. Because like if you're not doing it, you're like someone who looks in a mirror and walks away and forget. We have to be in the word every single day to keep what God's got in front of us to walk it out. Yeah? Amen? We can't be Sunday Christians because we ain't going to be transformed if we are. Just having a quick like push over there when you have a look at, I had so much I was going to go through. I'm going to try to skim it instead. But look at those things that he's saying, like wickedness, unrighteousness, covetousness, maliciousness, envy, murder, strife, deceit, evil-mindedness, whisperers, backbiters, haters, violent, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, undiscerning, untrustworthy, unloving, unforgiving, unmerciful. You look and go, okay, wow, that sounds pretty harsh. But like, ooh, I'm assuming we have no murderers in the place. But anyone had some envy sneak in here or there, or some acts of unloving, or being unmerciful, or any of those? Yeah? Like, whoo, it's like they're not fitting. And it's not a condemnation. It's not, it is so loving and it's so gracious when you hear his voice just saying, it's just not fitting. That's not who you are anymore. It's not who you are. I've gone through this recently. I'm 43 now, but I found in the last 3 years, I had a moment, and then it was hilarious because someone on Facebook pretty much put the exact same scenario up to all the mums in town asking for advice, and she's the same age. I was standing in my wardrobe looking, going, this isn't me anymore. Like I've hit that in between of like some of my clothes just aren't me anymore. A mixture of hormonal changes, weight changes, exercising, so body shape changes, and then my image of myself had changed because I'm like, That looks a bit silly now because I've kind of hit the 40 mark, and does a 40-year-old really wear those kind of things? And, you know, and it was an interesting little journey to go, oh, wow, like how I see myself will affect how I dress. So I've seen a direct correlation between the image we have of ourselves and then therefore what we put off and what we put on. Yeah? So that's why I got you to have a think of your image of yourself, because the way we dress, the way we carry ourselves, we'll give off a lot of what we think about ourselves and the image we have, and whether the image we have is actually the image God's given us and we're walking as Christ wants us to walk. Because the devil will do that. He will work on us to keep us in shame and keep us self-focused and keep us either in self-pity or in pride and have us dress according to that, if that's our image, and we go walking this way. When he's like, put on Christ and the knowledge of God and the image that God's given us, and we will walk in that direction. Does that make sense? Am I making sense? Because my notes are all over the place and I have too many pages to follow. So I'm hoping my bits and pieces make sense. So, and that's why I've got to jump a few. Yeah. I recently read a story, and there's a brilliant book on all of this called Victory Over Darkness by Neil Anderson, I'm pretty sure it is. And he shares a story, I don't know if it's true or not, but he shares an example of like a young guy who is doing what typical young guys out there would do. He's just eating a whole bunch of junk food and he's chasing the girls. And all of a sudden, because that's the image he's got, he's like, that's what the world tells me I'm doing, I'll just do it. And then someone sees him running around one day and says, mate, you've got a pretty good run. Why don't you try doing some athletics? Why don't you try track? And the guy realizes he's actually quite good. And he starts running more, and he eventually joins the team, and he flicks his whole life round to become an athlete. And then the example was, well, imagine now that the girl that he was chasing originally came with a piece of cake, and she's like, hi, I want to come hang out with you, got some cake, let's go do this. And he goes, nah, I've got a race to run. I haven't got time for that anymore. Because his image of himself changed. He was no longer just this young boy with no real goal in life. He's like, I'm an athlete, and because I'm an athlete, I eat this way and I train this way and I do this thing, and some things are no longer fitting. Yeah? And so same with us, like as children of God. If we are a soldier, like he calls us in the army of God, it says those who are soldiers don't entangle ourselves with the affairs of this world. You'd be like, I don't have time for that rubbish because I'm enlisted as a soldier and that doesn't fit me anymore. I'm living to please my king. Yeah? So you look at who you are in Christ and what the Holy Spirit highlights to you and what is not fitting. Because, I mean, we're all technically called in Christ and there's one ultimate image we're aiming for, but he's given us all personalities and we're all individual. And I just really pray from today on, his voice will just whisper to each and every one of us what is not fitting and what is. Like, remind us who we are. Yeah? That's what we are to all do, is to call one another up into who God has called us. I feel bad with the kids. I'll be the first to admit how, you know, how many faults I've got. But I've allowed that because it's affected my kids a little bit. I've been probably a bit too negative. I then allowed that to affect my image of myself. Guess where I went? I went all the way down here. It did not help me. And the only way I could turn around is to get back to God and go, okay, hold on, who have you called me to be? And what's my job in this? And even who have you called them to be? And how can I call them up into who they're called, what's fitting for them, rather than constantly telling them off, you know, for the other stuff and trying to encourage them. This doesn't fit, this fits. This is who God's making you to be. But that's all developing as they learn who they are in God as well, yeah? So just feel the stories, like, remember David and Goliath. It's a little bit of a side thing, but David and Goliath, we all love this story when they go to put on Saul's armor. And what does he do? He goes, nah, I haven't tested it. It doesn't fit me. But he goes, but I know who my God is and I know who I am in God, because I've fought a bear and I've fought a lion with God's help. So he went into that battle with a clear knowledge of who he was in God and dressed accordingly, didn't he? He didn't dress like somebody else dressed. It didn't fit. Like, so yes. I'd got AI to do a nice big table of put on. Actually, is that table there? Just because I made AI do it. It was a bit of fun. Just a bit of a reminder maybe to look at this. Instead of put off and put on, just look at the put offs and go, okay, they don't fit me anymore. Just let it highlight into your mind what is no longer fitting. And in terms of putting on, That's what God has empowered, like what Anthony was talking about. It's what he's empowered us. We actually can. That stuff does fit us now because of who we are in Christ. And we actually can officially walk in that way. You know, I had a scenario this week. It was funny. I had this one, it was a crazy day where I was like, I had felt peace like I have not felt in a long time. Like, at first I was like, I feel a bit numb. But then I was like, no, I just feel really just, today. It was a weird day. I don't get why. But then the funny thing was, as part of that day, I got a phone call from this frantic mum. A whole big misunderstanding had taken place. But I literally answered the phone to her blasting my head off because she thought I was at fault about something. And very quickly I figured, I'm like, I had done nothing wrong, honestly. And so I'm sitting there listening. And then bit by bit I was like, oh my gosh, this is shocking. She's a mum who used to be at our school. As many of you might know, Red Rock, great school, but unfortunately a lot of non-Christian families. And then all Christians aren't perfect either. And so they'd left the school because she's like, there was so much gossiping about me. And so something else has just unfolded and she rang me up going, thanks for gossiping about me, rah, rah. And I was like, whoa, I'm like, I've never said anything about you to anyone. it broke my heart. I was literally like, oh my goodness, because gossip isn't fitting. How shocking that this person was at our school and her scenario, her experience of the whole school was that we're all gossips. And I'm like, it's not fitting. It doesn't fit us anymore and it shouldn't fit us anymore. It broke my heart. I'm like, come on, let's call the body of Christ up into who we're meant to be and edify one another, yeah? And walk as Christ walked. Could we see Christ saying those things or not? I don't know. I'm not sure. All right. A step sideways. There's another scripture. I hope this makes sense. But there's another scripture along parallel to this that the Holy Spirit kept highlighting to me. So you guys are on a bit of my growth journey today. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1, it says, therefore let us lay aside every weight and the sin that so easily ensnares us, right? And I've been breaking it down over time with the Holy Spirit. So that word lay aside is to strip off. Lay it off, get off. So put off, yeah? You can't put some things on unless you definitely put some things off. Every weight. Now, I've looked this up, whatever's prominent, what protuberance, bulk, mass, hence a burden or a weight or an encumbrance. And then it says, and the sin which so easily ensnares us. And I was like, there's a weight and there's a sin. Now, as I said before, I've changed a little bit. I've put a bit of weight on and I was like, okay, God, there's a natural aspect to this. But I'm like, what's the spiritual aspect to this? What's going on? You know, could you show me? And as I've gone through all of this today, he's like, the weight is the wrong images. The right weight is having those things on you that shouldn't be on you, that are no longer fitting, yeah, because they're not, and I mean some of them are sins obviously, but there's like, and there's sins that can ensnare us, and the ensnaring is actually like stopping you, retarding your running, things that are stopping you walking in the fullness of what God's got for you, yeah. Actually, I think the whole scripture really does say the weight and the sin which ensnares. So there's weights that ensnare us and there's sins that ensnare us. Either way, both of them that are not fitting will be things that will actually restrict us and stop us walking in the fullness and the empowerment that God actually has for us. Yeah? Does that make sense? So I wanted to try something. Hopefully this works. God, please help me. And hopefully it's just for a bit of fun and hopefully to bring a bit of a practical aspect to it. I need a few kids. I'm not sure how many I need. Yeah, come on up. I'll hopefully work with whatever I've got. Come up, guys. So I had a few aspects of things that ensnare us and things that weigh us down. All right? So one of them, okay. Oh, this is like heresy to put. Oh, no, your dad works for him now. So I'm going to do this and I'm going to blindfold, all right? This is kind of going to be like a weight or a sin that's going to ensnare you. Can you see anything or not? No? We're going to kind of call that one, I'm going to put it idolatry just because it's a footy team and it's kind of like going to block her a little bit. All right, Aisha, you can take those. That, you've got to hold that. that's just going to be a nice little weight, like maybe sort of say, what things might you carry? Probably like unforgiveness would like weigh you down a little bit. This. Yeah, so I was going to bring my motorbike helmet, but I didn't have it, so I was supposed to weigh his head down. But this is going to be like negative thinking and shame that might weigh us down a little bit. Yeah? Oh, I wanted someone to wear a tight skirt that would stop them from running around, but that, no, it might not work. No, I don't think it's tight enough for you. I want to try and restrict. Hey, come here. Caleb, do you want to try a skirt on and see if it fits you? Anyone want to try see if a skirt's going to tie him up? Oh, come on. No one wants to have a little bit of fun with me? No? All right, boys, I need someone to put them on. And Josh, come over here. I wanted a really, no, you got that. I wanted a really, really heavy jacket, but I wasn't quite sure that. So I want you to put this on. But then I also, Levi, I know you really like that jacket, but I need that one. Come here. Come here. Maybe Mash can put one of his skirts on. Want his jacket. Can you give me my jacket back, please? Here. Just put this. No, 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 both of them. We're going to, like, put lots on. How's the high heels, buddy? Levi, do you want to do a little race for me? No one wants to put a tight skirt on? Oh, hey, Sean. Okay, Levi's cracking it. I need to move quickly. So this is just a little visual I wanted to talk about. Oh, Daz, thanks. I hope there they go. You might need to use the stretchy one. So that's the ensnaring where it retards the running. And then I need someone that can run. Chels, come on up. You look nice and sporty. All right. So just as a little bit, we've got shame. So I've got nice big black jackets, big heavy jackets. These are things we might be carrying. Shame, the tight skirt, maybe anger or bitterness, Daz. Hey, what do you reckon? Or entangled in the fear of the world, not being so peaceful. High heels. We're going to put this one as pride. Yeah, like pride kind of puts us up and above people, but it's going to hinder us a little bit, isn't it? Aisha's got offence or unforgiveness in a nice big heavy bag. Reuben has got a wrong image and a narrow mindset with his helmet. And the blindfold, oh, sorry, you've been sitting there for ages, darling. Disobedience or the works of darkness, actually, is a good one with that one. And then Chelsea's just, I'm meant to have a bib with love. I'm really bad at getting organised. Chelsea's just like, yep, she's walking as an athlete that God's called us to be. All right, as safe as you possibly can you guys race? Like, just line up. And then I want you to just do a loop of the chairs. All right? This way around. Go this way. This way. Go. Oh, Aisha's actually quite hit fast with her thing. I needed to get the 25 kilo weight to weigh. Did anyone notice Ayla didn't? Oh, you're a darling. Well, you did, but you weren't supposed to because you needed a heavier weight. All right, thanks, guys. You can put them all down on the ground. Sorry, but Ruben's still going along with his little mindset. Oh, that's really funny. Thanks, guys. Thank you for all... Aisha wasn't supposed to win. As I said, I think I should have got her something a little bit heavier so she couldn't do it. All right, so in light of all this, I'll finish on up. I just want to encourage everyone, stay in the Word. Stay in the things like what Darren and Anthony shared as well. Thanks, Reuben, who's come back. Oh, that was too fun. No. Thank you. encourage you, stay in the Word. Stay in the peace of God. Remember the peace of God and that he's empowered us to walk out. And it says as followers of Christ, we ought to walk as he walked. And let's stir ourselves on, guys. Pick ourselves up and make sure we are walking as Christ wants us to walk. Walking in love, walking in grace, walking in compassion that we would reach out to those in the community. Do you know, sorry, I have to share this actually. It's cool. I have found I love my children dearly, but I've been that mum that I'm a bit distracted when I'm out and about. And I've missed it a bit because I used to be very aware and the type of person I could meet someone in the street and I've got their life story in 2 seconds. Well, my brother's been down this week and sure enough, I'm at the supermarket and there's a guy. I get chatting to him. I find out his wife's in hospital and this has happened and that's happened with his brother-in-law. So I'm like, mate, I'll be praying. You know, I really believe you're going to get it. And I was just like, oh, that's what we're supposed to be doing. And that's what I love doing because that's who we all can be in Christ and that's what he wants to do. He wants to reach out and be there for people in the community, yeah? And we can all do it because we're all empowered and equipped to do it. So stay in the word, stay in the instructions of righteousness. Let's remind ourselves, oh, sorry, that's what I was sharing with Emma, actually. The word of God, it says it in 2 Timothy, that it's good for correction and reproof and instructions in righteousness. Instructions in what fits and what doesn't fit. It's not condemnation, it's encouragement to say, hey, this is what I did on the cross for you. So you're empowered, you've got this. So it doesn't fit, it does fit. It doesn't fit, it fits. He just gives us these beautiful instructions in the word on how to really walk out what he's got for us. Yeah? Isn't that awesome? Like, he's so good and he's so gracious in it. All right, so let's stay in it. Let's remind ourselves who we are in Christ. I was going to get us to go through all of it, but we've run out of time. Those booklets at the back, I've just come across, there's an awesome PDF I got online, which I can share if you want, called Putting on the New Man. Just a brilliant collation of all the scriptures and stuff. So who are you? Remind yourself who you are. Remind each other who we are. Build ourselves up and let your mind be renewed to these truths so that you carry the right image and then you dress accordingly and walk it out, okay? So don't forget, it doesn't fit, all right? If anything sticks with you today, it doesn't fit, and then walk out in what God has got for you, amen? Yep. Oh gosh, he's about to play us a song, so I'm going to finish in prayer. Sorry about my beautiful child. All right, Father God, we just thank you so much for the power of your word. Thank you for this incredible church family, Lord God. And I just pray that your Holy Spirit would just sow each and every one of these words that we've shared into our hearts, Lord God, that it would produce 100-fold. The word that tells us, actually, that the enemy comes straight away to try and steal the word of God so that it won't produce. So, Father God, we just guard our hearts from this moment on, knowing that you've spoken to us and that we are going to take a hold of this word and we're going to allow it to get sown into our hearts and produce 100-fold for your kingdom, Lord God. I bless each and every person here. I pray, Lord God, our fellowship just continues beyond here as well, Lord God. And I just thank you for what you're doing in Mum and Dad's life over in Europe, Lord God. And I just pray for testimonies and stories, Lord God, that they would just be so attuned with your Holy Spirit. And we just hear some incredible stories when they come back of how you've moved in their life while they're over there. So we love you, Lord God, and we bless you, and we thank you for all that you're doing in and through us. In Jesus' name, amen.